Fred Film Radio, BFI, London Film Festival, United Kingdom.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the London Film Festival 2019 edition. I'm with Joe Talbot, who's here to present The Last Black Man in San Francisco in the first feature film competition. Welcome, welcome back on Fred, actually.
thank you for having me.
We were just mentioning that you were on Fred talking to us about this film in Locarno.
Yeah.
So how is London treating you so far?
Wonderful, though. I just got in yesterday, so I haven't really had a chance to acclimate myself much yet.
Since Federica, our colleague Federica, already asked you a lot of questions, I want to jump in and ask you something that she didn't ask you. So since this is very personal film for you, and Jimmy Tales was your film, was your friend and also the protagonist of the film, since he sort of plays himself, would Jonathan be you, Mons?
It's a good question, but no. Actually, Jimmy and I do, you know, have a very obviously strong connection as friends, like Jimmy does in the film with Jonathan's character. But in truth, the first inspiration for Montgomery was a friend of ours named Prentice. And Prentice is himself a wonderfully unique San Franciscan. And so I started to imagine what a friendship on screen could look like between Jimmy and Prentice. And so he inspired the first kind of elements of the character. And then when we met Jonathan Majors, who would go on to play Montgomery, he really took our rough ideas and turned them into the person on screen.
Would you say that this is more a story of a friendship or a search for the meaning of home, what home means?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's both. In a way, which I know doesn't fully answer it, but I think that they're very connected, because as people are losing their homes in San Francisco, both literally and metaphorically, I think that we cling to the relationships that we have in our lives, because the city is changing so much. It's like you're looking for some to grasp some familiarity, and of course the people that you're close with there are sometimes your last connection to a place. And so I think in the movie, you know, Jimmy and Montgomery really in some ways only have each other. There are other people that they come in contact with, but I think in that sense it's like you're left to your close friends when you've lost your home.
That leads me to a question.
Maybe family, I should say too, but yes, sorry.
But after like this journey, along this journey with the film and by doing this film, what did you learn? I mean, home is really where your heart is, as they say, or is also only a place, a physical place, as in this case, the place that connects you to your roots?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think it's still complicated for me to answer that, because I do think that, like, you know, when Jimmy leaves at the end of the film, I hope that he's going to find a new community and find, you know, a new home, even if it's not like a physical property, like the one that he has been chasing and trying to get back in the film. But I also think that, like, having an actual home can do a lot for your heart and your soul and even your like sense of self-confidence. When we were working on the movie, Jimmy and I couldn't afford to live in San Francisco, so we were living in my parents' house, and they're also artists, and they bought their house in the early 90s in San Francisco when it was still somewhat affordable. And that house is where my parents have written books. It's where it's where they raised us to like bring in friends to live with us when they lost other places. It's where we first created this movie, and then where our team would assemble to like work on it together before we got an office. So if I lost that home, which we've been on the verge of losing it many times throughout my life, thankfully we've always been able to hold on. But if we lost that place, I think it would really rock my confidence and my sense of self. And for Jimmy, both in the film and in real life, to have lost his house when he was so much younger, still a young boy, and that was the last place where his family actually was, all together under one roof, in this beautiful Victorian, I think it makes a big difference in the trajectory of your life.
I read that in terms of production, it was a long process for you both to finally do this film. And I see that you did the Kickstarter campaign. I see Barry Jenkins among the name funding. I see Brad Pitt. So how was it?
Yeah, Barry gave us money on Kickstarter, actually. It's interesting. It took us years. I think when we first started working on it, we thought, we'll be done by 2015. We did this very funky concept trailer, which was before the Kickstarter. We shot a very short video that was Jimmy telling his grandfather's story as he skates through the city. And it was sort of, the idea was, let's put out into the world the fact that we want to make this movie and shoot it in a way that looks like the movie we want to make. So that's what we did. And at the end of it, it says coming 2015, feature film coming 2015. So we didn't really know, I think, we had no sense of how long it was going to take to get it made. I think that, you know, the only thing that keeps you going through all the difficulties, and for us, having never made a movie before, there were many, and there were moments of self-doubt and, you know, freak-outs, wondering, is this ever going to actually happen? But I was really lucky because we built like a kind of film family around the movie. All these people who we met over the course of making it, who like became as integral to it as me or Jimmy. They really helped us develop it. They helped us figure out how to raise the money. They helped us, gave us shoulders to cry on when things weren't going well. And all of that in combination is the reason that we actually got to the place where we could make it. And that was before we met anyone at Plan B, at Brad Pitt's company, or A24. And of course, when they came on, they made it a reality, but we would have never got there in the first place without those people.
From Sundance, where it all started, to now to London, was there something that hit you particularly in the reception of the audience? Something that people got or really got you?
Yeah, it's funny because when we went to Locarno, that was the first time we'd been in Europe, you know. I went when I was very young to Italy, but, like, I was too young to appreciate or remember it. So going as adults, I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know if people would understand the movie, if it would feel like the nuances were lost. In America, when people watch the movie, there's a mix, but generally people laugh in the audience. And at Locarno, I sat through, and there were very few laughs. So I was worrying, going, maybe no one's going to understand it. It was amazing afterwards to hear people talk about it and see how much they picked up on it. And, of course, Locarno is such an international festival. It wasn't just people from Switzerland or from Italy or people from Colombia and people from Berlin that had traveled there that were, like, really connecting to this idea of what Jimmy's chasing and home and the friendship. And there were, you know, older women in their 50s coming up and grabbing Jimmy's cheeks and crying and, like, holding him. And, like, so that was really, that meant a lot to us to get to see that, because you do hope that you make something that resonates with people in different places, not just the place where you made it. And the only thing that's sad about that is that I think part of the reason it resonates is because people are losing their homes in other places as well, and our cities are changing all around the world. So that's maybe the one sad part of that.
Thank you so much, Joe Talbot, for being again on Fred Free Radio to talk about The Last Black Man in San Francisco, screening here at the London Film Festival in the first feature film competition. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.